All right, it's good to be here today. Take your Bible, be turned to John chapter 16. And I really feel sorry for you folks now because this sounds like your preacher don't ever work. I mean, he don't have to study. He don't have to do it. Just show up and look pretty on Sunday, right? But I'm glad I get to be here today. And the Lord knows what he's doing. The Lord ordains our steps, our paths. And when I heard of the homegoing of Brother Bloom's father, it, of course, touched my heart because he's my friend. I loved him, and I love Brother Andy. And I began to think, well, what do I preach today? We don't want to have a funeral service today. That's tomorrow. And a funeral service you'll have, though, will be more like a church service. But I'm not going to preach what I was going to preach this morning. And I've been preaching for over 50 years. I've been married for over 50 years. My wife's here with me. I was hoping she could sing today, but she's had bronchitis and can't. But this morning, I want to be a blessing to you folks, if I can, and to your preacher and his wife and all the family. It's wonderful to be a child of God. I've been at this a long time. You know what? I've never been disappointed in my Savior. I've never been disappointed in the path he has for us to walk down. I've been scary sometimes and afraid sometimes, but I've always found that he's always there, always with us. And this church needs to realize it's a very important and great church. If you travel around this country, there aren't many churches like this church. And I love the strong doctrinal stand that your pastor has. I didn't know there was kindred spirits such as we are. I felt like we were, but this morning he said something to me that it's, I go around saying this all the time. I get in trouble for it. They throw rocks at me, but separation is a doctrine. And he said that to me this morning. And I said, wow, wonderful, wonderful. And I appreciate, love you. Many of my friends have been here. I've been here several times. And keep praying for my health. I've been shut down more than I've been out of the house the past year a little bit sometimes. So just keep praying for me. And let's look forward to a good day today in the Lord's house. And let's see what God has for us this morning. John chapter 16. If you'll look at verse number 16, it says, a little while, and ye shall not see me. Again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now, let's have a little background here before I read further. I'm going to read several more verses. But Jesus, I'm glad he's patient with us and loves us. He started in chapter 13 trying to explain to these disciples what was going on. You know, they were just like us. We wonder, what's going on? What's going on? Somebody tell us what's going on. And he started trying to tell them about how he was going to go away. And they were just shocked. They never could get the story. He tells them first, he says, as they're having supper, he said, one of you is going to betray me. Can you imagine that shock that went through that supper table? Somebody's here sitting. One of us is going to betray. Why? Who can it be? And then the next thing he says to them is, I'm going away. Now, we can act all spiritual, but if I'd be like the disciples, I would have been blown away right there, ready to, then what am I going to do? Have a nervous breakdown. You're going away. Well, we forsook everything, and everybody hates us. They'll kill us, and we sold out for you, Lord. Now, you're going away. You're going to leave us. So then he goes to John 14. Let not your heart be troubled, guys. And he starts trying to explain to them again what's going on. And then he tells them in chapter 15 about, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit's coming. And he's trying to get them ready for what is about to happen. As I read these chapters, I feel sometimes ashamed when I was a pastor, because I know Brother Bloom, all we preach and then we wonder if they got it. You know how many got it? Then you first thing want to ask your wife, does any of that make sense? And we wonder if people get it. Well, these guys weren't getting it. But he goes on here in this chapter, and he said, a little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. And then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and you shall not see me? And again, a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he hath said? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith. So Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said? a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, and your joy may be full. I call your attention to verse number 20 as our text verse today. The last line in that verse says, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. This morning I'll speak on the subject for a few minutes, when your joy, your sorrow rather, turns into joy. That is something that we as God's children can look forward to this morning. If you're not saved, you don't have anything to look forward to. I'm sorry. You're living the best day of your life right now. And it won't get better. It'll get worse. But if you're a child of God, we know that one day all of our sorrow will turn into joy. And let's rejoice in that today. Our Father, speak to us now. Lord, I pray that you'll help me this morning. I'm a frail creature of dust. Without your help, with the blessed Holy Spirit this morning, I can do nothing. I ask that you would help me to only speak the words you would want to speak this morning. I pray, Father, that you'll give me the words that are needed for that sinner here this morning who's not sure they're going to heaven. I pray that before they leave here today, they would know for sure that they're going to heaven. I pray, Father, for Christians this morning that may be discouraged or down. I pray that we'll realize there's coming a day when there'll be no more sorrow. All will be joy. Now speak to us this morning and help us to meet the needs of your precious people this morning. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. When sorrow turns into joy. This morning, I just have 2 points to my sermon. That will encourage you a little bit, but I have a lot of sub-points. I won't tell you how many of them this morning. A pastor said to me a moment ago, said, don't worry about time. But I learned a long time ago, if you're not going to worry about time, you don't want to meet the nursery workers after the service. So that will keep me worrying about time a little bit there. But when Jesus comes, the first thing I'll think about this morning, there are some things that will end. We know that as God's children, we're waiting today for what we call the rapture of the church. Are you looking for that today? Jesus is going to come and stand on the clouds and call us up hither. Whoa, what a day that'll be. And the Christians alive and dead will rise, and we'll go to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to have a time of reunion in the air. Then we're going to go into heaven, and we're going to have the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to receive our rewards, and I believe there are assignments we're going to carry out for him and so forth. That's a whole other thing. But we're going to receive rewards from our Savior, and then we're going to have that marriage supper of the Lamb. And then down here on the earth, they're having tribulation for 7 years, and after that 7 years, the Lord's going to tell us all to saddle up on a white horse. And we're coming back. You believe the Bible, don't you? And we're going to rule and reign this place. Ocala, Florida has never been ruled like it's going to be ruled one day. And we're coming back here. And there are things that are going to end when Jesus does that. I call your attention to Revelation 21, verse 4 for just a moment, and I'll refer to it several times this morning. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Then I'll read to you, you don't have to turn there, Isaiah 65:17 says, for behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come unto mind, come into our mind. We will not be able to remember anything here. That's a good thing, you think about it. All is going to be gone, God's new creation. But the first thing he's going to end, when he comes, the things are going to end, is all questions. Yeah, don't you have questions this morning? All of us do. We think of things that have happened in our lives. We don't understand them. We try to keep our spirit right and go on. But we have these nagging questions. And we all say, well, I'm going to trust God. But sometimes we find that's a little harder than we think it is to trust God. But Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29 says, the secret things belong unto God. People say sometimes, well, I know why God did that. No, you don't. God doesn't have counseling meetings with you and determine what he's going to do. None of us know why God does everything. Don't ever be that foolish to say that. We don't know why God does what he does when he does it. But the secret things belong to him. We shouldn't even be trying to worry about it and figure it out because it all belongs to God. It's in his hands, in his working, what he's doing in the, throughout the whole earth and throughout time. All of our lives are part of that story. So the secret things belong to him. And we hear Christians say sometimes, well, I can't wait to see the Lord because when I do, I got some questions I want answered. I'm going to ask him some questions. Well, here in verse 23, it says, when you see him, what you going to ask him? Nothing. Nothing. You're going to stand in the presence of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And guess what? You're going to be clothed in his body. You're going to be clothed in the mind of Christ. You're not going to want to know anything because Jesus is the fulfillment of all that we could ever hope for and want for. And he will take away all sorrow, will be gone in this world of tears that we live in. That's the second thing. All sorrow is gone. There's sorrow everywhere. Sorrow everywhere. Boy, in our nation, what a reminder of sorrow this week. Sorrow and despair. But I'm glad I can tell you that he is coming again and our sorrow shall be turned into joy. No more sorrow when he comes. Thirdly, all death and loss, the Bible says, is going to be gone. Isn't that wonderful? They're never getting ready for a funeral in heaven. That nobody's ever calling the morgue. Nobody's ever calling an ambulance for anything because all sorrow, all hurt, all disappointment is going to be gone when Jesus comes again. Boy, I'd like for him to come today, wouldn't you? But all death and loss is going to be gone. Then number four, put down this, all mistakes. All mistakes. You ever make a mistake? Sure you have because you still hear about it. You still hear about it. Somebody will always say, well, remember when you, that, you know, they never say, remember when, you know, your wife has a memory that remembers all of them. And your children, they won't let you off on anything. But the day is coming when all mistakes are going to be rectified and done away with. And we'll be glad of that. But we've all made mistakes. We all have lived with past guilt sometimes. There's some of you sitting here this morning. You may have had an event take place in your life. You may have made the wrong decision at the time. You may have hurt yourself and hurt others. And you look back and say, that was a terrible mistake I made. And it probably was. But you know what? It'll all be gone. No mistakes to condemn you. Those mistakes we make, they may keep you awake at night. They make you sorrow when you should have joy. But I'm so glad I can tell you, no matter what mistake you've ever made in your life, the day is coming when Jesus comes again, if you're his child, it'll all be gone. No mistake to be held against you. It'll all be gone. All injustice will pass. In verses 20 through 22, he says here, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Let me repeat that again. For joy that a man is born into the world. You're gutless men. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. Why does he say? Your sorrow's going to turn into rejoicing. Oh, that thing that troubled you, that thing that was like a millstone around your neck will be gone and you'll not sorrow, but you'll have joy. And your joy will be just like everybody else's joy. And you'll rejoice in him and will praise God throughout all the ages for all the injustices that will pass. You say, well, things weren't done right. Well, they'll be made right. My children didn't do right. Well, they'll do right one day. My friends, they didn't treat me right. Well, they'll treat you right one day. You see, we got to look beyond this veil of tears here, beyond this hour we live in, beyond this place we're located in this morning, because Jesus has given us that promise. And he was telling those men that day, they wonder, what's going to happen to us? We don't have any money. We don't have any homes to go to. We have nowhere to go. What's going to happen to them? He's telling them, let not your heart be troubled. And he gave them the promise. He's coming again. He's coming again. So all injustice will pass. There'll be no more abused families where children are abused and mistreated. How sorrowful that is. How shameful it is. There'll be no wives abused and mistreated. There'll be no homes full of abuse. There'll be no suffering. There'll be no poor people. There'll be no people who live without things and live in a constant state of hurt and loneliness and disappointment, and people who've given themselves to drugs and everything in the world to try to deaden the pain and try not to feel lonely. The day is coming when Jesus comes, and if you and I are saved, all will be gone. What a day. Then all physical pain. I read that a while ago. All physical pain, Revelation 24. This is a world of pain. This is a world of constant pain. Every day, what's it going to bring? Every hour, what are we going to hear about? The pain of this day. The agony of this day. The groaning of this day. The weeping of this day. It shall all end one day. When Jesus comes again. Oh, what a wonderful day that'll be when he comes again. Everything will be made right. Number 7, I put this down. All our needs will be met in him. He will be everything and more than I ever desired. He will be more than anything I ever dreamed of. Why, he says it hadn't even entered into our minds and our hearts, the things that God's prepared for us. You think you're going to be disappointed when you see Jesus? No, all your needs are going to be met. Well, I feel hurt about this, or I feel lonely. I always feel lonely. Well, Jesus is coming, and when you see him, loneliness will be dispelled. Hurt will be dispelled. There are many people in this world that feel like their needs are not being met. But I can tell you, friend, this morning, your needs aren't met because you're not looking to Jesus. If you're lost this morning, you don't have anything to look to. But Jesus is our need. Jesus is what we're living for. Up there is where we need to live. We don't need to live down here. We need to live up there. That's how we keep from sorrowing. Up there is joy and rejoicing. And there's such a meeting going on in the air up there. And the rejoicing in the angels and the presence of God. And we thank God for that. But as you know, we need to live up there a little bit because we're going to be there. I mean, up there, nobody will sleep in church. Up there, nobody will not be in church. Oh, it's going to be a different day. All things will be taken care of. So he's taking some things away from us. But now, secondly, I want to look at in this aspect. What are some things he'll bring? He's not coming without bringing something. Jesus, anytime he shows up anywhere, things happen. And he is bringing something with him when he comes. He's bringing the rapture with him, the judgment seat, our rewards. And then we're coming back with him. And what are we going to have? He is going to give us these things. He's going to give us a new earth. Think of that. An earth that has never known sin. This world has to be replaced. This earth has to be replaced. It will be replaced with a brand new one. It's not going to be destroyed by global warming. You can quit worrying. I'm old enough to remember when it was going to be destroyed by ice and all the other. And then everything you eat's going to kill you. It's going to happen to you. But folks, just look forward to Jesus coming and live life and have a good time. That's what God wants his children to do. But we're going to have a new earth. It's an earth that's never known sin. And the Bible describes that earth, and it's a perfect place. It's a place of no death and sorrow. It's a place of no animosity. It's a place where even the lion and the lamb get along with each other. It's a place where there will be perfect peace and harmony. It's not going to happen in our life down here on this earth, but it will happen one day when Jesus establishes rule and reign. Amen. We're going to get a new earth. There's going to be a new earth that's perfect. There'll be no pollution. There'll be nothing to hurt and harm this earth. It'll be just like God wanted it to be. He's going to also make a new heaven. Making a new heaven. Now you think about that. Heaven is there. You read about it and you think, man, that's awesome. That's wonderful. But he's going to build a new one. He's making a new one. You know why he's got to make a new one? Because he's going to have one where Satan has never entered in. Satan has entered into the heaven now where God is. And he still does to accuse you and I. He still does to make light of you and your life. He's the accuser of the brethren. But there's going to be a place one day where he will have never been and will have no access. So there's going to be a new heaven. Then there's going to be for us, the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem, the eternal home of the saved, the bride. We can not even imagine what it's like. We know that the streets are going to be paved of gold. Can you imagine that? Translucent gold. Gold. Streets are paved with gold. The gates of pearl. Over 200 feet tall. Can you imagine that? You ought to sit sometimes and just imagine that. Because you're going there. It's got gates of pearl. It's got streets of gold. It's got the foundation of the city is made of precious stones and jewels. But you know what? Those jewels pale in comparison to the precious jewels of God. And that's you and I. We're more valuable to God. He calls us his precious jewels. That wonderful place. That place where there's no sickness, no death. That place where, as the song says, tears will never stain the streets of that city. No wreath on my mansion door. Oh, what a place it's going to be. And it's being prepared for you and I. Now think about it. That's better than your 401k. That's better than any program you got. It's dead sure better than Social Security. And we can know this morning that that place is being prepared for you and I. That ought to do something for you this morning. I mean, there shouldn't be any dead Baptists when you think about what God has for you and what lies ahead for you. He's bringing with him a new city. And then something else. Number four, we're going to have a new body. Philippians 3:21 says, "Who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body?" I'm going to have a body like Jesus, and so are you. I'm going to have a body that will never sin. I'll have a body that never knew sin like my Savior. I'll have a body that's like his. I'll have the mind of Christ. I will be in his presence. I will be with my brother. Think of that this morning. Jesus is your brother. The Bible says that. You know, we get so theological dead sometimes. We don't just sit back like little children and enjoy the wonderful things that are in the Bible that just make you get tickled. Amen. Oh, devil, you're picking on me. Okay. Wait till I tell my brother on you. Wait till I tell my big brother. Oh, he's going to be our brother. We're going to be there. We'll have a new body. We'll have a new life. Eternal. It's not going to be something we get and we can lose. It's not going to be something that can be taken away from us. It's reserved. That body's reserved for us, just like that mansion's reserved for us in heaven. And it'll be ours for eternity. And we will have a life that's eternal. Then I said, number seven, we're going to get a horse. It's in the Bible. I thought I'd just put that in. Because there are some people that might really, you might be more excited about that than a streets of gold. I don't know. But we're coming back on a horse, so there got to be horses there. I often told my church members through the years, and I can't prove this biblically, I can wish it was so, but I used to say if there's horses there, that means there's stables there. And some of you unfaithful birds that don't come to church like you should and don't live like you should, you're going to have a golden pooper scooper. So like I said, I can't prove that, but it sounds good to me. Heaven's going to be wonderful. What's going to be there? I don't know. You say, well, will my dog be there? I've had a couple I don't believe will, but there may be some that will be. You know, it doesn't hurt to sit and imagine what your mansion's going to be like. It doesn't sit to worry. It's not a bad thing to sit and think about living in heaven, because that's where we're going to live. Do you ever sit and think about what you're going to do in heaven? Heaven's going to be very similar to what we know. Only it's perfection. It's more than we can imagine, more than we say. There are books and libraries in heaven. I believe there are museums in heaven. I believe there's all kinds of things for God's people to enjoy throughout eternity. What a wonderful place called heaven. And there we will have a new relationship. It'll really be the culmination of a relationship that's being formed at this moment. When we get to heaven, the adoption will be complete. Because we are being adopted by our Heavenly Father. And it will be complete when we get to heaven up there. And we will then have all the rights of Jesus Christ. Think about that. We will have all that He has shall be ours too. And we're going to live with Him and live with the Father and live with all the saints of God throughout all the ages. That's why the people up there, they're more alive than we are. They've seen more than we've seen. If you could try to get one of them to come back, they wouldn't come back for nothing. You know, we ought to look forward to that. We shouldn't be worried. This morning, if you're afraid of dying, you need to be saved. If you're afraid of the future, you need to come to Christ. This morning, there are many of you, you need to think right now, when did you trust Christ as your Savior? See, there are too many people today, this emerging church movement has got everybody saved. But they're not saved. You have to come to the place to realize you're a sinner. And then when you realize that, that's not the end of it. You have to admit it. You have to confess your sins. You have to be sorry for your sins. Sorrowful for your sins. Hurt for your sins because you hurt God. You crucified Jesus with your sins. And now you have to come to that place of where you're sorry for your sins. And then you have to believe that Jesus came to be the payment for your sins. Oh, He died for the whole world, but salvation's personal. You have to have a moment and a time in history where you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you knew that He came into your heart and life. And you knew that something took place that made a difference in you. This morning, if Jesus comes into your life, it changes the way you think. Because why? He's getting us ready to have that mind of Christ. We start thinking differently. We start acting differently. We behave differently. We speak differently. Oh, this morning, if you're not saved, you have no hope. But folks, if you're a child of God today, you ought to be having the time of your life. I'm old. I hurt. But I'm having a good time. And I'm not ready to pack it in. Just patch it up and move on a little further. But I'm glad that God saved me, called me, and has let me be a servant of His. And you ought to rejoice this morning no matter what you do. Boy, you fry those fish next week and you think about heaven as you do it and sing glory and rejoice. Rejoice in the fellowship you have here. Because it's going to be forever. Why, you don't know. You may get to heaven, you can't disprove what I'm about to say. And I love to preach on heaven. I've got so many sermons on heaven. And I preached one here, I think, one time. But I'll tell you, you get in heaven, you can imagine nothing. I wouldn't be surprised. You may be, but I wouldn't be surprised if when we get to heaven, the Lord lets us assemble as a church. Your church. Your church family have an assembly. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? Oh, that would be. I can imagine, because that's nothing I love better than church. Than being with the people of God, your church family, that's the way you ought to feel. Oh, that could be. Wait, just think about heaven this morning. Are you thinking about it? Do you pray about it? Do you think God used that to motivate you? Forget about the sorrow and the hurt and the pain. It's all going away. It's all going away. When Jesus comes, oh, this morning, we ought to be looking up. We'll be looking for that door to open up there. Oh, John the Revelator saw that door open. He was looking up for it. We ought to see that, look for that door to open. And come up hither. What a day. All that we're going to leave behind and all that we're going to receive from our Savior. What a day that'll be. What a day that'll be. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Our Father, speak to hearts now during this invitation. I pray the Holy Spirit will do what none of us can do. And I pray that you'll convict. And I pray that all who allow you to, you'll save them this morning. And Father, I pray for the Christians this morning that you'd lift their spirits and help them and meet their needs and meet the needs of this church in these days ahead. And we'll thank you for it.